I've been reading the book of Nehemiah, and yesterday and the day before, these scriptures started standing out in my mind. Message come on my heart that I'd brought several years ago, and I'd like to bring some thoughts on it tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4, you know, they're trying to get Jerusalem rebuilt here in the book of Nehemiah, and they were trying to rebuild the city of the Lord, Jerusalem, and the enemies of God come up and try to stop them. And it's a great illustration of any time you're attempting to do anything for the Lord, the devil is going to try to stop you. You cannot expect to do something for God without opposition. And we're living in a generation when so many Christians are so afraid of ridicule and so timid and thin-skinned that they're actually afraid to get in a fight for the glory of God. I never have been a person that liked to have a fight or a battle raging. But I tell you something, brother, there's no getting out of it if you're trying to do anything for God. There is no getting out of it. You will have a fight on your hands. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. See, he heard this doing something for God. And took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now spiritualize this in your mind as I'm reading it. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Now, if they're so feeble, what you worried about it for? Amen? But the fact is, he was scared that they was going to get on fire for God and accomplish something for God, and he didn't want that to happen. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah and the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He said, ain't nothing, don't worry about them. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built with a wall. Help me now, moms. So built with a wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Ah, what a great verse. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, they which bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them had held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that everyone put them off for washing. Now, brother, there is a man who has got a job to do and is getting the job done. I think a lot of people wonder sometimes why there's so much about battle in the Old Testament. Why they're always recording wars and fights and battles, and 10,000 were killed here and 50,000 were killed there, and why all these wars and bloody stories are in that Old Testament. And I believe God put those stories in that Old Testament to show me and you a realistic picture of what life was really like during that time, and also to illustrate to us spiritually the battle that you and me are in the work of the Lord. Now, I don't believe in war. I don't think we ought to have a war as a last resort. I think war is a terrible, terrible thing. And I believe that you ought to fight if you have to. But you ought not unless you have to. And it's a horrible thing. But there's one thing that going to the army has done for a lot of young men that nothing else done. They grew up kind of on easy street and taking it easy. And 3 or 4 years in the army, I had a man tell me yesterday, he told his boy, he said, you can either do this, you can do that, you can get your job, or you can go join the army. His boy went and joined the army. He said in a few months he wrote home, he said, Daddy, I sure do miss home. This ain't home. That boot camp, them running, them push-ups, and them sit-ups, and them running 20 miles, and boy, roughing it out there. There's one thing that the army would do for a guy. Now, I'm not taking up for the good, the bad of the army. I mean, they learn to cuss, and they learn to smoke pot, and they learn to drink liquor, and they learn all kinds of bad things. But there's one thing being an army will do for a young man. It will make a man out of him. It'll toughen him up a little bit. And our generation needs that. And brother, did you know something? I've never been actually in the armed services, but God has allowed me to have some things that, you know, that made me grow up real hard and quick. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to stand in the work of God, you're going to have to toughen up and be a man. The army of God is no place for spiritual wimps. This is no battle for those soft-toed, soft-soapers that just say, well, I just want to love everybody and I just want all the churches to get along and have a wonderful time. And as soon as a bomb hits, boy, they'll be gone. I'm telling you tonight, we are in a war. I repeat, you listen to me? We are in a war. The third time, look at me. This church right here, we are in a war. We are soldiers on the battlefield for God. We have a job to do. We must determine in our heart to get the job done. Nehemiah and his people here, I'm preaching to you on the subject tonight, building the walls in spite of the devil. The devil tried to stop them from building the walls of Jerusalem, but they got the job done anyway. And I'm going to give you 5 things tonight that they did to get the job done. You young preachers will need this. When you go out in the work somewhere, a young preacher sometimes has a false idea of the ministry. They see a man get up and preach. They see people get up and brag on him. They hear people say, I thank God for you, preacher. Maybe they see him take up the love offering for you. They think, praise God. I'd like to get up there and preach. I'd like to lead God's people. I'd like to be the man of God with a message for the hour and all that kind of stuff. What they do not see is that the minute you step your foot in that position, the devil declares all out war on you, and he's going to do everything in his power to stop you from accomplishing a work for God. There's one thing young preachers need to get through their head. It is this. You're not going to do something for God without opposition. You're going to be fought by different areas. Not only demonic spirits, there's going to be people working against you. There's going to be people
people trying to stop you. They're going to, excuse me, everything in their power to undermine the work of God that you're doing because of their hatred for anybody who's doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, Nehemiah and his people got the job done. They said one time somebody had this old bird dog, and this bird dog wouldn't fight a lick. And brother, these other dogs crowded up on him and backed him into a corner, and something snapped in his head. And buddy, they said he come out tearing into them dogs. And buddy, they said that old bird dog stood his ground. And they said from now on, all you got to do is when them other dogs come around, he just shows his teeth a little bit. And boy, they mosey on around and get around him. That's the way dogs do, you know. Dogs know who's king of the hill, you know it. Our bulldog, now she's queen up there around top of Hoppy Tom up there. And them other dogs come around, you know, you can't hurt them. They're thin as a skit. And she'll stand there, boy, and a piece of food will fall down. If she ain't even hungry, she'll just go, boom, like that, and stick them big elbows out there. And if another dog comes, she'll go, like that, and boy, they're gone, just like that. And I tell you what, boy, she has to stand her ground. And I tell you, we are in a dog-eat-dog world. The devil's out to get us. He's out to devour us. He's out to stop us from trying to get this church built. I'm telling you, anybody that's been with us here the last 15 years knows that we've had a battle. We've had a fight. It ain't over yet. Some people think, well, thank God we're finally through that battle. Everything church is going to be great now. No, it ain't. Well, hey, the only way it's ever going to be cool here is for me to lay off and us quit trying to reach people and me not say nothing about sin, then the devil would leave us alone. But as long as we're knocking on doors and giving out tracts and sending out missionaries and preaching the gospel and sending buses up and down the road, the devil is going to fight this church. You ought to understand that. You ought to understand the devil's going to try to stop us as we try to get the job done that God's called us to do. Don't think it's strange if you feel a weird spirit fighting you and saying, good night, why don't you just give up? It hits a lot of people this time of year. It really does. I don't know what it is about warm weather. When it hits, you kind of get carnal. See how quiet you are already? You kind of just get thinking, it's fast. Kind of laid back, you know, it's killing time. You know, and you're just going to take it easy and you're just going to lay back, you know, and rest through the summer. If you ain't careful, you'll be backslid as 3 o'clock in the morning. But I'm telling you this evening, we need to learn to build the walls in spite of the devil. Now quickly tonight, let me give you an outline of this chapter. And the first thing I want to say is, Nehemiah and his people kept an eye on the enemy. They set a watch against them. See, they has building this wall here. And they said, now listen, while we're over here laying these rocks up, and I'm painting this wall, and I'm covering these chairs, and I'm putting up this sign right here, and I'm over here messing with this microphone, and I'm sticking them flowers up there. They said, while I'm doing that, you boys stand right here and keep a watch out on the enemy. You know what? To have a great church, you're going to have some people in the battle, some people doing this, some people... Listen, but you're going to have some people that's keeping a watch. Listen, our church will never continue to be a great church for the glory of God if we don't have people more and more that God puts it on your heart to set a watch, to pray. We need to set a watch. And listen, no work for God ever gets anywhere without people praying. Somebody's going to have to take it upon themselves to pray and keep a watch. Listen, it might be somebody that we don't even know. Well, I know we have ladies here in our church that pray. We have men that gather up here on Saturday night and pray. Let me tell you something, we underestimate that. We don't know what kind of storms God has brought us through just because of people praying. We don't know many times when the victory comes in here on Sunday morning or Sunday night. We don't know that it might have been some granny praying last night or the night before that got a hold of God and touched God for this service that we have here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Somebody's got to keep a watch out. Somebody, you don't don't get much glory for that. You don't maybe get up front and get a check like these people did a while ago. Maybe you don't get nobody to applaud for you. I'm telling you, brother, somebody's got to learn to go into the Holy of Holies and grab hold of God and say, "Dear God, keep a devil off our church. Dear God, keep the demons away from our church. Dear God, help our preacher. Dear God, help our Sunday school teacher. God, bless our choir. God, bless them buses." Brother, somebody has got to keep a watch out. You say, "Well, I just don't care enough." That's how many churches have died and the Spirit of God left them because nobody didn't care. You can't take it for granted that you're always going to have great services. You can't take it for granted that just because God blessed us in the past, He'll always bless us. God blessed us in the past because somebody said, "I'll watch out for the enemy over here. I'll watch out for the enemy over here. I'll watch out for the enemy over here." One of the most amazing books I've ever read in my life, besides the Bible, is Inside History, the story of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas, Pastor Dr. J. Frank Norris. And it's amazing. Everybody here ought to read it. I believe we got the other book over there in the bookstore. What I'm talking about, I don't think we do. That book tells a story. J. Frank Norris pastored the two largest churches in America at the same time. Temple Baptist in Detroit, Michigan. First Baptist of Fort Worth, Texas. And that old boy lived on the road, riding in trains back and forth from Fort Worth to Detroit. And pastored those two churches. It's amazing. It's unreal. I mean, back in Fort Worth, Texas, back 50 years ago, there were a lot of cowboys left. And they took matters into their own hands. They'd shoot them up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And many times, they were fighting over liquor. They were always in a liquor battle or a battle over the major denominations over the inspiration of the Bible. They were battling it with their schools about evolution. And that guy was right in the middle of it, all of his ministry. And a lot of people said, "Dr. Norris, if you don't quit all this fighting and all this controversial stuff," they said, "our church, it's going to go down. People's going to just quit." But you know what he done? He stayed in there and he fought a battle. God blessed that church and become the biggest church in the United States. You listen to me tonight? And brother, that thing just flourished and God blessed. They said that many times they conspired against him. When he fought against the liquor industry, the district attorney forged a lie against him. They tried to get him locked up. They tried to start lies on the pastor of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. And did you know what happened? They said they got together, people prayed, they kept an eye on the enemy. God moved. That district attorney had a car wreck one night out in a Cadillac with some lady friend. And tore his head off nearly, and somebody got a jar of whiskey and had that man's brains mixed in with it where it splattered out on the highway. And brother, they brought it to the pastor, and the pastor got up and set that bottle of liquor and brains on the pulpit and preached on, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." And brother, he said that night 50 people got saved, and God moved, and revival began to move and stir. They burned the church down. Somebody literally burned the church down. They tried to stop it. They set it on fire. Then they accused the pastor of burning the church down. They said Norris did it to get the insurance money. And brother, they had him in court and they were telling lies on him. They hated that man because he was getting the liquor out of town, because he was getting the booze out of town. And let me tell you something tonight. God's people have always been in a controversy. God's people have always been in a battle. And you know what Christians in Marion, North Carolina need? They need their skin just a little bit thicker. We need to realize we're going to be in a fight. We're going to be in a fight. You say, "Brother Danny, I just can't stand all this controversy." I tell you what you better do. You better buckle down and say, "God, give me some grit in my crawl. Give me some grace in my bone and let me fight the battle." If you stand for God and do what's right, we're going to have it. We're going to have it. We always have. We always will. You say, "Well, I just don't want to be in a church where there's always controversy." Well, I tell you what. You'll either in the wrong church or we're all going to backslide soon. Because you can't stand for God and not have a battle on your hands. It's always been that way. You know what they done? They had old Norris in court. And somebody said, "They was going to hang him, man. They was going to run him out of town." And they said that the milkman come and testified that he happened to see the light on in his study or something like that and cleared him. God got him out of it. There was a man. There was an angry mob going to kill him, run him out of town. And some of the most prominent businessmen in town said, "We want Norris out of town, and he will never preach in this town again. We will extradite him completely out of the city. He is forbidden to preach in this town anymore." And J. Frank Norris said, "They're not going to stop me from preaching. God's called me to preach, and I'm going to preach." And they wouldn't give him nothing in the newspaper. They wouldn't send him no advertising. So he went and had his secretary run off a bunch of stuff and printed up a bunch of pan bills and had something like 30,000 of them or something like that distributed all over town and said, "J. Frank Norris will speak tonight at the corner of 15th and Main Street at 7 o'clock. And it had in there about those businessmen threatening to run him out of town if he ever preached again. And he'd spread it all over town. "I'll preach tonight at 15th Street down the middle of town, right in the middle of where all the bars were." And people thought he was crazy. And he walked down there that night. Then the narrator, the writer of the book said that he walked down there and they said there was a mob spirit. He said, "If I've ever seen a place," he said, "it could have got out of control real easy. Everybody in town was there." This is back like in the 1930s. He said everybody came out. There's guns all over that place. There's all out there. There was a mob atmosphere. There was hollering. But look, there was about several thousand Christians come out to back up the man of God. And he got in an old roadster, about a 1931 roadster, and got up in it and began to preach. And he said he got up there and led them in the sweep by and by. And they all started singing, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar." And he said that crowd settled down, and just God's Spirit just moved over that crowd. Let me tell you something, friend. We can run home and stick our head under the cover, and we can say, "Well, we're going to let the homosexuals have the world." Or we can run and say, "We're going to let the drug crowd have our kids." Or we can stand up and be soldiers for God Almighty and take our licks and take our criticism and take our family talking about us or our family criticizing us for the stand we've taken and go on for God and do something for the Lord. There ain't no time to quit. There ain't no time to quit. Wimps wimp out on us once in a while. But I'll tell you something, if you got some guts here tonight, you'll say, "Hey, I want to see the end of the battle." You know what they done? They said, "Old Norris," they tried him in court one of them times, took him to court. Lord have mercy, man, if that was going on, good night. What if they had me up in court here two or three times a year? You all had to come up there and everything else. They say, "Preacher, I just don't want to know you no more, Brother Danny. I get talked about at work and people make," you know, I thought about Christians. You know what they used to do to Christians? They used to jerk their fingernails out and put them in jail. They tied them up in sacks of rattlesnakes and throwed them in the water. They took pregnant women that were Christians and tied their bodies down on the ground and sliced their stomach open and let the pigs come and eat their live baby right out of their body. They'll bust their fingers and say, "You want to deny the Lord?" And they'd say, "No." They'd bust another finger. They'd starve them to death in prisons and jails. We here in this 20th century have got our bellies full of food. Our refrigerators are packed full. We live in air-conditioned houses. We drive air-conditioned cars. And we're ready to quit because somebody's going to talk about us. Or somebody at work made a critical comment about our church and all that. Oh, why don't we grow up a little bit? You're going to have it. If you do something for God, you're going to get criticism from the world. Listen. The way to escape criticism in this world is say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. You say something, do something, be something, you're going to catch it, brother. I mean, they're going to talk about you like a dog, but Nehemiah and his people set a watch and kept an eye on the enemy. Amen? You'd be surprised. You know something, we had people in this town, when I first decided to start this church, there was another preacher in town, made a move to get up a petition to stop this church from ever meeting before we ever got started. Most of you don't know that. I've run into people every now and then. We had something happen out the camp last night. Guys come around in a boat. They knew who we was. One of them hollered out, "Hey, Danny!" And they all went around in a fast boat and done, they, you know, doing their wickedness. They said over there on the other side of the lake, on the dam of the lake, wrote in big spray paint can, McDowell County's Jim Baker, Danny Castle, writing stuff about me. I think one, somebody, church, some Christian went over and sprayed over it. I don't know. They may have sprayed it back by now. I never did even see it. You say, "Brother Danny, don't that bother you?" Yeah, it does. But I tell you what, I'd be ashamed if I called myself a Christian in this generation and this world like me. You one of these nasty guys, "Well, so-and-so's just a fine person and everything." But you're a hypocrite if everybody likes you. You're not standing for nothing. You just want to be a nice guy and appear righteous and appear holy. You can't stand for God and not somebody not hate your guts. It always has been that way. It always will be that way. You know what? You know what makes up for it? When I run into people from all over this town, like I did a man this week, like I do, I like to run in them old ladies in these Methodist and Presbyterian churches around town, and they'll see me at the post office or something, real nice, well-to-do Christian ladies, and they'll say, "God bless you, Danny. I appreciate the work you're doing, and I pray for you all the time." And I think, well, hallelujah. God's got them. Listen, there's people all over this town that are going to churches where it's cold and dry, but they're in there praying for us every single day that God will continue to bless her. I ran into a lady down here at the grocery store the other day. She was totally blew away by the youth rally. I didn't even know she was here. When she told me she was here, I went, "Oh, Lord, wonder what she thought about it." But she said, "It was wonderful." She said, "I just thank God for all." She said, "I just couldn't believe it when I pulled up and saw all those people." But I'm telling you, just like when Norris went down there and several thousand people rallied around, listen, there's always going to be some smart alecks. There's always going to be some people with some smart remark to say. Listen, I'll tell you something else too. There's always people out in this community that's got some smart remark to say about me or Bruce or John or one of these other people, and they've never walked in our shoes. They've never pastored a church. They don't have the slightest idea what they're talking about. And you're a nut if you listen to what they got to say. I tell you what, Brother Ray there, he's a logger. If I went down there tomorrow and I told his dad and them men that work with him, I said, "Now, you ain't getting these logs out here, man. If you do it right, you do it this way, they'd laugh me out of it. Say, "Get out of here, you idiot. You don't know nothing about logging." And they're right. I would. I ain't got no business telling them how to log. That's why these people out here don't even go to church, but they're expert on what a preacher ought to do and what a preacher ought not to do and what a preacher should preach and how preachers should live. That knucklehead crowd don't have the slightest idea what they're talking about, and don't you let the devil push that junk in your ears. Amen? I tell you what, just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, as sure as my name's Danny and my middle name's Keith, God Almighty's put His hand on this work. He knows what we're doing. God knows we're here. God ain't gone nowhere, and He's still God on the throne tonight. I'm telling you what, He will be tomorrow, and He will be the next day, and the next day, and the day after that. He ain't going nowhere. Don't let them bluff you. Don't let them spoof you. I'm going to tell you something else. Nehemiah and his people had some rubbish that hindered and endangered them. See, now rubbish, there's three things I want to say about rubbish. You know what rubbish is? Trash. It's all piled up there. Now, where you're sitting tonight used to be the FCX building. When we tore that building down or had it torn down, there was a tremendous pile of rubbish here. I mean, it was up to here. Steel. Nails. 2x6s, 2x4s, brick, concrete, old sinks, commode, countertops, things like that, old broken up light fixtures, piled all in here. His office mess ever was. Now, before we could build these walls here, all that rubbish had to be cleared out. Now, rubbish will stop you from getting the wall built. Rubbish will hinder the workers as they work. If you can build a wall with all that trash around here, somebody's got to clean house every now and then. Now, rubbish is those things in mind in your life that ought not to be there. Wicked habits, pastimes, television shows, dirty habits, anything where the devil can get a foothold in your life, there'll be a pile of rubbish there. You've got to clean out the rubbish every now and then, or you ain't going to get me a wall built. You know, if we had a perfect building in here tonight, and we only had one hole going to the outside, you might look around here and say, well, praise God, isn't this a wonderful building? Look how immaculate. That's the prettiest rock work I've ever seen. A lot of people think that. And they say, oh, how beautiful. Oh, just, who designed this? Who come up with this idea? All this kind of stuff. But if we had one hole over here in this wall, a rat would come in that hole. You ever noticed that? How many of you ever had a rat get in your house? Raise your hand. And we'll admit it. You better put your hand up there. We've all had rats. You might not have, but if you live out in the country or in town or anywhere, I mean, they're going to find you sooner or later. And how they get in, I don't know. They don't have to have, them things must not have no bones. They're liquid, man. I mean, they can go through a little spot, it ain't that big. And they'll get in if there's a hole. And the only way you can stop them rats from getting in is plug that hole up. And you get you some decon or something, kill them after they get in, but the best way is stop them holes up. And you know something? If there's a hole in your life, that's where rats gonna get in. Rubbish piled up out here in the front. We was trying to build this wall. The enemy could sneak up behind that rubbish and we couldn't see them. They'd sneak up like this, see, and get behind that rubbish and raise up, pow, and shoot us before we could see they're there. Now, do you realize when you have rubbish in your life, that gives the devil an open door to sneak up on you? It does. It gives the devil, it's like leaving a hole. The rat gets in. And did you know... If you listen to the wrong kind of music, or if you watch the wrong kind of television show, all you're doing is leaving a hole, and the rat's going to get in. Sooner or later, the rat. It gives him something to sneak up on. It gives an open, it leaves a crack open. It leaves a little spot. And we ought to make sure that them holes are plugged up so that the rats can't get in, and the enemy can't get in and hinder us. Not only that, but rubbish must be cleared away by those who expect the victory. Amen. Let me say number three tonight, right quickly. I've got to hurry. Nehemiah and his people kept their weapons near at hand. They kept them swords laying right there where they could get a hold of them. The Word of God is our sword and must be kept at hand. We must stay in the book. You know how the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil? When the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, the Lord reached back and got three verses out of Deuteronomy, whack, 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 knocked him out in the third round, and the Lord defeated the devil with the Word of God. Jesus Christ, our example. You know how you defeat the devil, young people? Get a hold of the Word of God. Learn how to quote the Word. David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Memorize a verse of Scripture and quote it while you're at school. Quote it while... You know what you'll do? Kids, get some of them Proverbs verses. Look not to the left hand, nor the right hand. Stay away from evil companions. Flee youthful lust. See? Fornication. Every time somebody comes up and say, hey, you want to go to a party with us Friday night? Are they going to have alcohol? Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to drink. Now, you remember, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thy eyes is not why. Buddy, that Scripture is your weapon. That Scripture is your weapon. If you don't quote the Scripture, you start reasoning it in your mind, then you start debating it. Well, in this case, maybe it would be all right. I don't really see nothing wrong with that. You know what? You need to keep your weapon. Your Scripture is your weapon. If you go to college, you know what you need? You need that Word of God in your head and in your heart, because you get defenseless, man. They can outsmart you. They put that junk in your head and you think, well, that does sound pretty good. You know, but boy, if you got that Word of God in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. This, that, God said it. I believe it. That settled it. Keep your weapon near at hand. I want to say tonight, there's nobody in here spiritual enough. You're no match for the devil without the Word of God. You need the Bible as your weapon. Stab him with it. The devil comes along and he'll say, it's going to be pretty this weekend. What about that picnic? And you'll say, well, what about church? And the devil will say, you went every Sunday for a year. One won't hurt. And you say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. See, that's your war, that's your sword. That's your weapon. That's your weapon. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, determine in your heart that you're going to do that job and do it to the best of your ability. Don't expect to do it without the devil trying to hinder you. And I'm telling you something. We've been hindered before. We'll be hindered again. I'll never forget when we was building this building. Lord, you talk about hindering. We're on easy street right now compared to when we was going through this building program. Some of you weren't, many of you weren't here. You don't have no idea how awful it was. Somebody comes from the property next door and said our overhang was hanging over the property line up there, 22 feet in the air, and the overhang of the building was sticking over the boundary line and they was going to make us move it. I said, foot. But somebody called me and they was all upset and they said, Brother Danny, they said they was going to make us move a wall. I said, move a wall? My foot! They said the overhang sticking over the property up there and they was mad because they wanted to sell beer over there and we fought against it. That's right. And brother, we had an awfulest fight over that ever was. Some they come over here and they said, yep, we're going to make them move it because they overhang. You know, like if you got an apple tree and it's sticking over somebody's land, you know, and apple drops over there and, you know, you can make them cut the limb off. They're going to make us move. I said, we'll take a chainsaw and saw that overhang off. We have to. And it was just one thing right after another, fussing over the property, fussing over the parking lot. There's people in this town did not want this church building here. I had them tell me, they said, Danny, why don't you people go out in the country and find you a nice spot of land? What they're really saying is, get out of our hair. We don't want you right in the middle of town. They said, there's too much traffic on East Court Street. Too much traffic down there anyway. It caused traffic jam. I said, thank God. That's why they put the liquor store. Maybe people can't get to it. But I tell you what, we had the awfulest time ever was. It's no accident Lord put this place here. It's no accident. And all I'm saying to you tonight, troops, is don't be afraid. Stand your ground. But something like this, say, by the grace of God, listen, you can get a whole lot of work done if everybody cooperate. That's my next point. Nehemiah and his people cooperated. Some of them watched, some of them built, some of them done this. Did you know if everybody does their part, they ain't no telling what you can get done in a church. Ain't no telling. But I tell you what, let's say we're going out there to camp to work. And I'll say, Bruce, I think we're on Mother Grace. He'll say, I think we're going to work on the ball field. Somebody else say, I think when you start disagreeing and you start saying, well, I think we'll do this. I think we'll do that. I think we'll do this. I think we'll do that. That's why you got to have a foreman. That's why you got to have a boss man on a job. That's why you got to have somebody to say, this is the direction we're going. Now let's all cooperate and get the job done together. You can get 100 times more work done, 5 men working together and cooperating together, than you can everybody pulling 15 different directions. And brother, our church is the same way. Listen, you'll say, hey, let's work together. Listen, there could no way they could pull off what they did this morning without cooperation. Somebody provided the food. Somebody cooked the hamburger. Somebody watched the kids. Somebody stayed up late last night and prayed. Somebody went and gassed up the buses. Somebody went and knocked on the doors. Somebody printed up the flyers. Somebody typed some things. Somebody mailed out letters. Somebody preached in the junior church. Somebody took them downstairs. Somebody put them in the class. If everybody works together, there's no telling what you can accomplish for the glory of God. They cooperated. Now, cooperation among God's people will bring God's blessing. There's strength in numbers. You know how the world gets done what they get done? They cooperate. When they're having the Daytona 500, son, they flock from everywhere to go to that thing. They're there with one purpose, one mind, one accord. Let's get the race on. See? It's announced. It's planned. They cooperate. They get it done. Cooperation is a key. That's how the mafia succeeds.
That's how wickedness triumphs. They get together, they plan, they work, they plan out a scheme, and then they do it. Now let me tell you something. It's easy to get your feelings hurt in a work like this. In a church the size of ours, I'll guarantee you there's somebody sitting in here right now that you're hurt at me, and maybe you were sick or something and I didn't come see you or something like that. But I want to tell you something. And I want everybody in here to listen to me real careful. You don't let the devil tell you junk like that I don't care, or I was sick and Brother Danny didn't care. Let me tell you something. If I didn't come to see you, or I didn't call you, or there was a reason for it, I guarantee you that. Amen? I would not deliberately let one church member go or do it. Now, I don't know that that's even happened. I just popped in my mind and I said it. Maybe it has, maybe it happened, but I would doubt it in this many people. And I want to tell you something, brother. If I told you I'd do something and I forgot it, you say, well, Brother Danny told me a long time ago that he was going to do this or visit my friend and he never did. Do this. Come back and remind me. Maybe I forgot. Maybe it's on my list. I ain't got done yet list. I got several ain't got done yet lists. And then mom or somebody going there and clean up my room and my ain't got done yet list disappears and I forget about it. And then I see somebody 6 months later and say, you never did do it? I say, oh, I'm sorry. And I've got a lot of irons in the fire and all that kind of stuff. But I will not deliberately neglect you. Do you understand that? And you know what the devil will do? Demons will tell you that. They'll say, Brother Danny don't care. Now, if it was that John Ollis, he'd be right there with him. But I'm having problems and he hadn't said, oh, they took up an offering for old so-and-so. But now I'm having it right. Don't you let the devil tell you stuff like that. I want to tell you something, buddy. I fear God, and in my position, I don't play no favorites. You can ask our deacon. You can ask people there. I say, listen, we're not supposed to treat one person any different than we treat anybody else. You say, well, I think the church just done me wrong. You know what you need to do? You need to ask the Lord to forgive you for listening to wrong voices. Because it ain't true. It ain't true. I ain't never done it in here deliberately to leave you out or to hurt your feelings. Not on purpose. Now, you know there's no way I can please all of you, but I wanted to let you know that. I'd never do nothing on purpose to hurt anybody. I want people to live for God and serve God. And you know what Nehemiah and his people done? They cooperated. And the only way, I'll give you the benefit of a doubt if you'll give me one. How about it? Sometimes I think that about y'all. Sometimes I'll just get it in my head and I'll think, so-and-so's mad at me. It's Ray. Didn't come to my bachelor party. That's no excuse. Then you had a big party last night and didn't invite me either. You could at least invite me. Now let me see what... Hey, I had to go to the prom. But listen. What if the devil said, Ray don't like you, Danny. Or he would have been at your bachelor party. Now, you can't listen to junk like that goes through your head. You can't do it. That ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't do a person like that. That is junk, brother. That's rubbish. That's trash. And you know, you women, you need to quit listening to them voices that pop through your head. They're cuckoo. That ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will tell you what's in that book right there. The Holy Ghost ain't going to come to you women and say, she don't like you. I know she don't like you. Well, if she don't, the Holy Ghost ain't going to tell you like that. You ever heard the saying, the little bird told me? Buddy, the Bible said a bird of the air shall carry a voice. And that's how come you can go to another church and just get the biggest blessing ever was. And you say, oh, praise God. But then you come to your own church and you think, well, I just don't get anything out of it anymore. Because you believe all this junk. And you think bad of people. And you got hurt feelings. Listen, we're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And the quicker we get that through our head, the better off we'll be. We ought to just say arm in arm, let's serve God. Let's cooperate. Let's get the job done. Now, me and Bruce work together, and me and Bruce don't agree on everything. But if me and him's building a wall, we just say phooey on that. Let's build a wall! Somebody's going to hell if we don't build a wall. Amen? They cooperated. That's why we put our tithes in the church, people. What if you said, and I hope ain't nobody in here like this, what if you're one of these people says, well, church's got plenty of money, I'll see a poor family down the road, I give them my tithes. If we all did that, the church would have to close its doors, and all them young people wouldn't have got blessed, the youth rally wouldn't have been here. There wouldn't be no way to operate. You've got to cooperate. Everybody's got to put it together. Your tithe belongs in the church, and then if you want to help a poor family down the road, take it out of your pocket and give it to them, or come to us and we'll tell the deacons, and the church helps them out. We do it all the time. We cooperate. You cooperate and you get more done. Last thing, Nehemiah and his people dedicated themselves and determined to get the job done. Dedication always puts God's cause first. Amen? Oh, my soul. There's been so many stories. You know what I heard about this man one time? He was, the church grew and got on fire for God like we had the youth rally and his pack full. And he got real mad. And he's just an old griping man. And boy, he came to church and he said, "Oh, good night, it was so full in here, I couldn't even move my arms." And he's fussing about it. He couldn't move his arms in there. And the very next week, he broke both his arms. That's right. That's right. J. Frank Norris said the worst enemies a preacher ever had is society women and jealous preachers. That's the worst enemies a preacher's got, is highfalutin women and jealous preachers. They'll talk about you and cut your throat, buddy, leave you in the road of bleeding. Dedication is a challenge to others. Dedication causes and brings victory. It's just like your job. There's some times when you get so disgusted with your job, you feel like just throwing your pencil and paper down and walking out, don't you? And there's been times since I've been preaching, I felt like just saying, "Fooey with it, I can't do it, God, I tried my best, people don't care." You get like that every once in a while. You've got to realize that your calling is from God Almighty. There's a higher cause. There's a higher court. There's a day we're going to answer. And you go on and serve God when you don't feel like it and you don't want to and your flesh is screaming to lay down and quit. And you go ahead and dedicate yourself and do what God's called you to do anyway. You're just learning to be what a strong Christian is and be a soldier for the glory of God. The woods is full of wimps in this part of the country that said, "Well, they talked about me down there at the church and they wouldn't accept me, so I just decided I'd just let them have it and I'd stay at home." Why don't you get back in the battle tonight? Quit using that for an excuse. Serve God. You say, "Well, they talk about me." So what? They ain't sewed us up in sacks of rattlesnakes and jerked our fingernails out. We ain't had no persecution. We ain't had no persecution. I've had a knife pulled on me, some people threatening to kill me and stuff like that, but nobody never done nothing. That ain't nothing. That's nothing. That's just words. Anytime somebody's threatening to beat you up, you can just go turn over and go to sleep. They ain't going to do nothing. Preacher called me the other day. He said, "Somebody called me and they're threatening to beat me up. What should I do?" I said, "Forget about it. He ain't going to do nothing. He's a big chicken." Our coach in high school taught me a long time ago. He said, "If a man's going to fight you, he ain't going to come broadcast it and tell everybody. He's just going to run up and light into you." He taught, you know, these boys always say, "Meet me at school." You know, them big tough boys in high school, they ain't want to fight. If I was going to fight Gene, buddy, I wouldn't go around and say, "I'm going to fight Gene. I'm going to fight Gene. I'm going to fight Gene." Buddy, I wouldn't say a word. I'd just run on and go, "Bow!" like that, see? That's right. You don't let these people run their mouth. They're all hot air, most of them. I want to tell you something tonight, friend. Don't be bluffed by the devil. Dedicate to your job, your bus route, your Sunday school class, your work, whatever God's called you to do, and get the job done. The Lord bless you. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll have just a brief, quick invitation. Appreciate your patience tonight. Maybe there's somebody that needs to come to the altar tonight and just ask for some old-fashioned courage. Don't be ashamed now. Don't be ashamed. If you've been chickening out, just come down here and ask God for some old-fashioned courage. God, give me the courage to stick in the battle and have what it takes to get the job done. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts and lives. Move in the service tonight. Do what ought to be done. Lord, help us not just to be talk. Help us not just to like it when we get in here and shout the glory, but help us to stand out there when we're being ridiculed and talked about and made fun of and mocked. And help us to have our sword in one hand, our trowel in the other hand, build the wall, fight off the enemy, clear out the rubbish, keep our lives right with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.